Well, praise the Lord. Tonight's going to be an interesting night. I pray that what the Lord has given me will bless each one of you and that you'll receive something from it. There are a lot of things that are going on in this world that I don't want to touch on all the little details and all the things that are going on, but it is interesting to find that people are turning to the Lord. They are still turning to the Lord in many other countries, especially the ones that are under heavy oppression. The heavier the oppression, the more they rely on God, the more they find God, the easier they find God. Or what causes it? Pressure. So let's start with a prayer. Father, thank you. I'm looking forward to tonight. I do it with a great anxious heart and a joyful heart, one that's expecting excitement and joy in you. I thank you, Father, that your love is always shown to us. You never, ever give up on us, and that we are so thankful for. You bless us with all the blessings that you have given to the Israelites, and now you've given it to the Gentiles, and now we are here to gather it all in, to encompass our arms around you, and to sit on your lap, and to learn from you. We sit at your feet, Jesus, expecting more and more every day, especially from you. Your words of wisdom, your words of love, your words of generosity, mercy, and grace. And we praise you and thank you for this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
There is a song, Faith is the Victory. And when Gene and I were looking through the music, she came up with this, Faith is the Victory, and I haven't heard that for so long. Would you like to play that? Play through it one. Okay, the last verse in here is, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. And that's what we're going to speak about tonight. Faith is the victory. And it's a beautiful song. And I believe that this church should really learn it. That is a good song. That is a good song. It's got a lot of good words in it. The message tonight is a different pace that we've been going through. And I've called it, Now Faith Is. Faith Is. Today's news is not exactly what you'd call a morale booster. And from the news media, either on TV or on the radio, rumors of wars, famine, in some countries, storms of all kinds, whether wind or hail or heavy rain, mudslides that wipe out total villages, tsunamis, radiation leaks. Need I go on? There's not much more that you can, there's a lot more, I should say. You know what I'm referring to. All this amounts to is to keep the population on a state of shock. And what they want to do is they keep you under confusion. As long as they have you off balance, they've got you under control. Just a little bit under control, not totally. Jesus said, have faith in God and do not be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. That kind of love comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. There are many people who don't follow the news as the only source of headlines for today. There is more information, a better information source, I should say, that is more accurate and up-to-date than the news media. I can see on your faces that You're way ahead of me. Of course, I'm referring to the Word of God. Jesus said that there would be all kinds of calamities and tribulations. He also tells us that we should have no fear. When your world is collapsing all around you, it is very important that you don't panic. And for a lot of people, panic comes first. The fear of losing your house, being kicked out of a house that you've been living in for many years, lost your job, no place to turn to. No place to turn to. Think of what that feels like. I know that I've had that feeling. Marie and I have had that kind of a feeling ourselves. One day we sat there at the kitchen table, and we put all our wealth on the table. There was one nickel and one penny. That was it. From there on, we had nothing. We still had to pay the house payments. We still had to have some food on the table for the kids. It's a nerve-wracking type of a feeling, and I know the feeling.
Amen.
It's an emptiness inside of you. And then you say, wait a minute. Honey, let's pray. Away we go. It wasn't about what? An hour later, that somebody came to our door and gave us an envelope that gave us some money to give the house payment. And then we had some food in the basement that we could go on. About a week or two later, I found a job. Prayer works. Amazing, isn't it? Fear comes in and robs you of every usual bit of calm that you ever had. And it moves you from that serene place that you were living in, and it just grabs you. I know the feeling. And we were reading books. We were reading a daily devotion, yeah. And the book was from Kenneth Hagin, from way back in the years. And his books gave me a lot of help to deal with everything in life, understanding a little bit more of God. And this lesson, I believe, would come from what I've been studying under him for these many years. We have this little book that's called Faith Food. And each day has something on about faith or the salvation. It covers many, many, many things. But if we read in Hebrews 1, if you want to look at Hebrews 1, verse 5, I think we'll start from there. What exactly do you think Jesus did for us when he went to the cross? Sure, he wasn't just to get us into heaven. And there's much more than that. When Jesus arose from the dead, God said, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." But wasn't he God's son before that? Yes, it is true. But after the resurrection, Jesus received the fullness of the greatness which God gave him at this time. And that was when Jesus received the full Godhead in him. Think about that. It's something to contemplate. It's something that tells you that Jesus did something there. He accomplished the purpose that God gave him. And God then said, okay, the whole Godhead now is on you. And gave him much more power. It's interesting if you read it and you understand it. And you can turn to Philippians 2. Verses 9 through 11. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God and Father. We should also understand that every knee refers to angels, men, and demons. You must also understand that Jesus never used that name because he was the ruler of all creation by his word. The Bible shows us that the name of Jesus was given to the church to use. It is for our use. In Ephesians 1, verses 19 through 23, what I'm trying to do here is to show you how Jesus received that Godhead and how God uses it for gave it to Jesus and what Jesus has asked us to do with it. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. You receive Jesus Christ, and you receive the Holy Spirit. And you might have noticed also that whenever you read the Bible, every time that you mention the name of Jesus, it also refers to the body, the church. This was given because the name is to be used by the body of believers for the deliverance from the devil, Satan. In other words, the name of Jesus drives out the devil. He cannot stand in that area, in the place that you are. In other words, everywhere you go, where I am standing right now, because the Holy Spirit is in me, that is holy ground. You can say that the Godhead is in me through the Holy Spirit. And when I say, Holy Spirit, help me, boy, does he ever come in quick. Because I've exercised this. I have done this exercise so many times. Sometimes it is, if I'm driving down the road and something comes up or something happens, Holy Spirit, help me. If I'm going into an area where I have no idea where it is and I'm looking for a place to park, Holy Spirit, help me to find a parking spot. Boom. It's like as if somebody just pulls up and lets me have a spot. It's amazing. You start off slow. You start off with small things. You talk to God, to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit hears and he does everything for you. He's there, your helper. He's your, what do you call it, the paraclete? Yeah, your helper. It is so beautiful that when you're in that realm of trust in the Holy Spirit, God knows what you're doing, and he wants to do that. He wants to give you everything he can that you allow him to give you. It isn't just, oh Lord, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our trespasses, you know, the whole thing. No. What comes from your heart is what he wants to hear. He wants to hear what you have a problem with, and he wants to help you solve it. And that is to rest in his peace. The name belongs to the church and has a right to draw upon that name for every need. The full measure of the Godhead is in that name. When we read 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23, Paul the Apostle tells the Corinthians that all things are yours. God does not withhold anything from us that he conferred upon Jesus. All things are possible. And all things are ours to the glory of God. Nothing is withheld from us, as we read in the story of the prodigal son. He told his son that stay at home, all that I have is yours. Luke 15, verse 31. Is there something that God has that you need? In that case, it is yours. You already possess it. All you need to do is take it. I found that out years ago, when I was working for a railroad company, I was selling and servicing machinery to railroads, which was a good job. I enjoyed it. Only trouble was I was away from home too much. But I remember one time that they had a problem on this machine, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. It was just as all the wiring, every light that was supposed to work in a certain sequence, and all these things are supposed to be a sequential, they were jumbled from one point to another. And the machine was doing a hula. it wasn't going straight. And you know, I stood there and I looked at it and I thought, this doesn't make any sense. I tried to get the voltages and see what's going here and going there. Nothing read. Nothing was right. Nothing. Everything was completely jumbled. So I just looked at that and I thought, whoa, what do I do here? So I says, so I took a few more measurements. I thought, totally out of existence. I mean, there's nothing in there that I could even make heads or tails out of. I walked away from that machine, and I walked about the length of this building down the track, and I sat down on the rail, and I was throwing stones and flipping things at him. I said, Holy Spirit, Jesus, you've got to help me with this one. There is no way that I can make any heads or tails of this one. So I said, okay. Now I said, Lord, I got to go back to that machine, and I got to find the trouble. Tell me what to do. I walked back to the machine, and the operator says, okay, he says, what do you want us to do? You got to figure it out? And then the foreman came up behind me and says, how long is it going to take? That's the first question they'll ask you. How long is it going to take? So I said, let's find out what's going on here first. So I told the boy, the operator, I said, unlock the computer box and let's take a look. You know. So he opened up the box and I said, okay, we'll take this first layer up and lay that up aside. And well, there's another layer of relays and things like that. And I said, okay, let's lift this one up. And I says, and I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue as to what I'm saying. Because I didn't even know which way to go. I said, okay, give me a pair of the side cutters there in my pouch. You know, so I took my pouch and I started clipping up the strings that are holding a loom of wires together. And I'm wondering, what am I doing? What's going on? You know, so I just kept on doing it. You know. I said, okay, I put the side cutters down. And I opened up the loom and I just spread it apart. And I looked inside and there is two or three 16 gauge wires and a whole bunch of number 24, that very light, thin wires, computer wires. And they're all melted together. My eyes bulged out. What in the world is going on here? And I says, okay, I says, looks like we got a problem. So I said, let's unplug all this. So we unplugged that board and I took it out of the machine. And I says, okay, I says, tomorrow morning, I says, I want you guys to be here. And I says, we'll put this machine back into action. And the foreman says, you got to order these parts. I says, look, I said, just tell me, just be here at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll put the machine back in service. I went back to the motel. On the way from the motel, I dropped in at Radio Shack, bought a few wires and a few tools and some soldering irons. And I didn't have the stuff with me because I was on another trip. Lo and behold, I found out what the trouble was. And what the amazing thing is that I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. I had no more of an idea than flying to the moon. How do you do that? It ended up that a screw that was supposed to have been cut off, a bolt that was supposed to be cut off that held the hinges, they just bent it back and forth and popped it off. Well, that's a nice sharp point. And this sharp point grounded right and cut right into the wire, the wire before, right after the fuse, so it didn't help any. It just burned it. So I sat down about 3 o'clock. I found that about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd say that around midnight, I had it all rewired. Took it back to the machine. And I was amazed. I put it back together. Put all the machines together, set it on the track. I said, okay, go to work. And the guy says, that's impossible. You can't fix that. You can't fix that. I said, let's go. Let's go put it to work. And that machine did the most beautiful job of the next curve. Just put that curve right into shape the way it's supposed to be. Now, how did that happen? I didn't have a clue as to where the trouble was. And that's the way a lot of things happen. Doctors, mechanics. Bob, you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Bill, you've seen it a few times myself when you were working. You and I were working together on a lot of things. You don't understand why, but somehow God gets through to you. Faith. That is a step of faith by saying, Lord, show me what to do, and then go for it and do it. And when you get the victory, it was his battle, but you got the victory. You know, it's amazing. Faith is an act. Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm getting a little excited. In the book of John, 16, verses 23 to 24. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, he will give it to you. Whatsoever you ask? Wow. What does that mean? Hitherto you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. The promise that Jesus gave us in this statement is the most marvelous gift that he could have given to us believers. Just think about it. Whatsoever you ask in my name, he will do it. He'll give it to you. Whatsoever. That includes everything. It doesn't leave anything out. You need a job, you need money, you need this, you need whatever it is, ask. And then expect it. He was telling his disciples that he was going to the cross to be crucified, and that when he sits at the right hand of the Father, you will use his name to ask of the Father, and he will do it. Glory to God. Glory to God. While Jesus was on earth, the disciples did not ask anything in his name, because he was there in the midst of them, and he took care of all their needs and all their petitions. Now, the name of Jesus takes the place of Jesus personally in performing miracles, delivering from Satan's authority and bringing God on the scene. John 14, verses 12 to 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. What have we got a problem with? What's our problem? If you ask a lot of people, they say, well, yeah, that was for the disciples. That's exactly what they'll tell you. It's a cop-out. It is for anyone, whosoever. Does that mean that only the 11 guys that were walking with him at that time? No. There was 12, but I don't count him in. It was for everyone that believes in his name. Why are we having so much trouble with faith? Why do we have to complain? Why do we moan and groan and complain? Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? Oh, Lord, I don't have any money. I can't do this. I can't do that. Think about it. Think about your past actions. Think about your past statements of your mouth, the words that came out of your mouth. Were they powerful? Were they strong? Were they positive? Or were they negative? Or doubtful? Faithless? When we think back now, hey, I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. Just as guilty. Now, for instance, in Acts 3, verse 6, what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's all he said. Do you see something lacking in this statement that Peter spoke? There was no lengthy prayer.
just a demand.
Here is something that we need to learn from prayer of the sick and whatever problem there is. In the case of the word ask, it can also be used as demand. Now, ask is a very interesting little word. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. Ask is a big word. Three letters. This tells me that a long-winded prayer is just a waste of good oxygen and a drone in God's ear. Think about it. He already knows what you need. Why bore him with all, when he wants to get the request answered? Why bother him with all the little trivial things that are just on and on? Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Speak solid. Speak positive. Speak whatever is on your heart. It doesn't have to be flowery and great languages. The longer we pray, the longer the individual has to suffer. Think about it. You're praying for somebody that's got a headache. I remember this one gal that came to our church one day when I was in another church. She came up the stairs and she was sort of weaving around. And I says, hey, what's going on? And she says, my head, it's splitting, it's splitting, it's splitting, Harry, I can't stand it. And I says, well, gee, I just grabbed her head on both sides of her head. And I says, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And then I told her, I says, sit down over there, just right over here by the door. She sat down. And I greeted a few more people. And then she said, Harry, my headache's gone. Oh, glory to God, my headache's gone. I said, yeah, no problem, sit down. I thought, wow, that was easy. And it was just an act of faith. I just did exactly what I was supposed to do. I can remember another time. We were working at an old church on Woodard and Wadsworth. And this friend of mine and I were way up in the top there. We were working and above our heads and leaning back and putting in lights, fixing lights, repairing the lights. When we were finished after about 2 or 3 hours, my back felt like it was broken. It was strained beyond what I should have done. Well, we came down from that man lift, and I got down on the floor, and I was walking around, and we put all the equipment away, and by this time, my back was so sore that every time I took a breath, it was like a sharp pain, and you just couldn't get the whole full breath in. You couldn't even move your lungs that much. And Bill Backus came up behind me. He put his hand on my back and says, good job, Harry, you're blessed. And walked on. All of a sudden, I just stood up and my back was completely healed. What was that all about? I didn't ask for prayer. And that was the shortest... That was the shortest prayer I've ever heard Bill say. It was so quick, and it was so easy, and he just put his hand on my back, and boom, it was over. I had no problem after that. What I'm saying is we don't have to make it a long, lengthy, please, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Just say, Lord, this is what we need. Here's this man is sick, this woman is sick, she needs this, she needs that, he needs this, he needs that. Boom, it's over. In the name of Jesus, you are healed. What did Jesus do? All Jesus did was come out of him. And out goes the devil. No, he didn't have to say in the name of Jesus or in the name of God or Father or anything else. He didn't have to make a long, lengthy prayer. He just said, commanded, it was done. That's what he says. We can demand those things out of the devil. Just leave. Tell them to leave. He's been attacking me these last few days. Little things. Stupid things. And I just have to say, get out of here. In the name of Jesus, just leave. Take your garbage with you. That's it. Most of the time, it's just, devil, leave. In the name of Jesus. All of a sudden. Yeah. Now, sometimes it's instant. And sometimes it takes about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe 5, but it's gone. He has to leave. That's why Jesus said that you have the full power and authority. Power is authority. strong mind. Love, power, and a sound mind. The power means authority, so that with the love, you can speak to others to demand the authority of Jesus to cast out the devil. And that person has a sound mind too. You use your mind to use your authority in love. It's not that hard, is it? When you sit here and think about it, not that hard. Especially if you're praying for yourself, would you have a long-winded prayer? Think about it. Or is it, Lord Jesus, I got a headache. Devil, leave in the name of Jesus. Or you'd say something to that effect, but it's very short. But also, how come it's so, just a few seconds, a few minutes, maybe a little, just a short time, that headache is gone. Or whatever it is. Well, I'm being a little bit facetious here and saying things like, why put God's ears into such a turmoil, you know, just over and over repetitious, and then instead of just saying, Father, this is what we need. He wants to get it done. You want to get it done. The person that's suffering wants to get it done. In other words, get to the point. It's so easy. It's much better. In fact, it was just the other day with Maria and I watching Mel Bond. Yeah, Mel Bond. We were watching him on the TV. Just caught him and I thought, oh, let's watch, you know, just listen. Very simple, very straightforward, very plain. No great speeches, no great sermon. But very smooth, very kind, very quiet, very lovely. And then he just came up, and there was an old man. He was walking with a cane. This is no put on, because you could see that. And he just said, give me your cane. In the name of Jesus, just run over to that chair. The guy got up and he staggered, you know, just sort of unsteady, but then he started working. The guy was 80-something years old. He was older than I was. That was amazing. And he was running to the next chair. He turned around, and you should have seen him run back. Then he grabbed a hold of Mel, and he said, Lord of God, I'm okay. He was excited. Very simple. No prayer. Just give me your cane. In the name of Jesus, run to that chair. And I thought, that is a perfect example of a simple, fast, quick prayer. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink a deadly poison, it will not hurt them in any way. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well.
Amen.
There you go. Jesus said, there's another thing here I want to point out too. A lot of times when you pray for a Christian, if you can get the Christian to pray with you or to pray and you come in agreement with him, it is that more effective. But if the person is in such a turmoil that cannot pray for himself, then it's up to us to lay our hands on the sick. But in a lot of cases, if the person could pray himself or herself, it would be much more effective. Jesus said these things to the believers, not just to the apostles or some preachers that operate in the gifts of healing. No, this is for the entire body of believers. This is the time that Jesus invested into the church the authority through his name. Pastor Hagin once said, and I'll quote that from him now here, some of us have touched that authority now and then, but none of us have been able to abide in it like God wants. That's sad. That is sad. However, I am thoroughly convinced that in the last days, just before Jesus comes, devil will arise, a body of believers who will learn to take the advantage of all the things that belong to them in that name. That name which is above every name, the mighty name of Jesus. I like what he said. The mighty name is Jesus. And we have heard some people pray and ask for faith. But this is the wrong approach. You receive prayer. You receive faith by reading the Word, hearing the Word of God. I would also say besides hearing, it's got to be accompanied by a lot of reading the Word of God. James 1:22. Be ye the doers of the word. How do we put faith into work for us? It's quite simply by acting on God's word. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is an act. And that is exactly what faith is. It's acting on God's word. Now, faith is doing what the Bible tells us that we should be doing in every situation. You may need to look up the references to get to the right or the right scriptures for the different situations that you're in, whether it be money or whether it be sickness or health or whatever it is, loss. There are many things, but there are little booklets that give you a scripture for if you need faith, if you need this, if you need that, if you need all these different things. And if you look them up, it's quite interesting how well they fit to your needs. But the effort, if you read them up and look them up, it's really worth it. In all cases, we need to remember that the word says it what it means, and it means what it says. The best way to handle all trials and tribulations is to act like the Bible is true.
Amen.
Small beginnings. Don't start working on, well, I need a car. how big a faith have you got? I'll guarantee you. When you can say, if you say to yourself, like I started off with this is where I started off, building up my faith. I need a parking spot. And believe it or not, it worked. Whoa! That was a kick, when I got it. I need to find favor with that man, Lord. I've got to make a presentation to him. And Father, I pray that he receives me gently. Because I've heard of this guy who was pretty rough. I walked in. And he says, I'm looking forward to seeing you. And I thought, whoa. Hey, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You see what I mean? Small things at first. And you build your faith. There's a strong faith, there's weak faith, there's little faith, there's big faith. And how do you get it? You build it slowly. Don't get greedy. Putting your life in the hands of the man from Galilee is an act of faith that will give your heart a start in the right direction, leading to the narrow gate for all believers. Now, faith is a hope and a future. You recognize that statement? When we read the book of Acts of the Apostles, we see how these men and women stood on the promises of God as Jesus taught them. You'll also see that these men became much bolder in their thoughts and actions after Jesus ascended into heaven. If you notice, at first they were always doubting, and who is this man that the waves and the waters and the air, the storms, listen to him. But when Jesus died and went to the cross, and he died and rose again, Peter stood up and says, "Ye men of God," 3,000 came to see him. Came to the Lord. Boldness. The boldness came after Jesus ascended to heaven because they were now filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit now could work through them. And they had much more boldness. This is what you've got to expect as a Christian. This was because the Holy Spirit came upon them and they acted in the power of love with all authority that Jesus conferred onto them. We can do no less if our mind is focused on Jesus at the time that we need an intervention on God's part. He was always ready to help his children in a time of need. And he wants to help you. He desires to help you. He almost begs you to help him. For him to help you. Pardon me. There's one more thing that I'd like to leave with you. And that is a way to build yourself up in confidence and self-esteem. So that you can operate in the same boldness that the apostles did in the early days of the church. You have been taught this lesson before, but maybe you've forgotten them. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. Praise God. What is that? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. A little while back, Marie and I heard a little mini sermon on the receiving of the blessings of God for his children before the end of the promised land. Now you read the 14 verses and apply them to yourself. And don't be shy about adding a few of your own, such as, I am blessed with a new job. I am blessed because of better income. I am blessed by the finances are better order. I am blessed by my workplace because I found favor with my superiors. I am blessed by my spouse. I am blessed by my children. I am a blessing to them. I am blessed by being an overcomer in all that I do or put my hands to. I am blessed with a mind that is quick to understand and comprehend all that is put before me. I am blessed with a focused mind and an open heart to the blessings of others, to be a blessing to others too. You can put any blessing into action by speaking the words that line up with what our Father says that he wants for us. It's in his word. Don't sell yourself short, because he wants to give you far above all that you can think or ask, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all the generations, forever and ever. Now, faith is wherever and whatever you want to take it to. So be it. I want to read to you something else here. Got a few more minutes. Peace. What is peace? It's resting in him. To rest in him is to have faith, and faith is an act. Acting on the word of God is to have rest. All things work for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. Right? Okay. Last, but not the least. Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. God said to Moses and tell Aaron and his men's sons that this is how you are to pray for the people. To bless the Israelites. To bless us also. Now there's one word that a rabbi taught. And he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. But he says, add the word in will. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will turn his face toward you, and the Lord will give you peace. Say that to yourselves many times. The Lord will bless me and keep me. The Lord will make his face to shine upon me and be gracious to me. The Lord turns his face towards me, and he gives me his peace. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that you've given us today. And it excites me every time I read this over. Every time I think of this lesson, Lord, I get excited. I get a thrill from it. And I pray that others will also do the same. That they will just read this over and over. And that you would bless them with all the blessings that you want upon them. Father, tonight we ask that you would be with everybody that leaves tonight, that's been here. Give them a safe journey home. Give them a blessed rest. Thank you, Jesus, that you made it all possible. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping. You are a paraclete. called upon us, called to us to give us help in a time of trouble, in a time of need, in a time of joy, in a time of peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for doing what you did and sending your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for being in us. And we'll always truly be grateful forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Harry. That really blessed me. I have to tell you something about those parking places. You know, you start off, you're saying, oh, God, I need a parking place. Got to have a parking place. And you know, and that's a prayer that he'll answer pretty quick. But then something happens. After you do that a couple of times, you find yourself pulling in there just expecting a parking place. Now, see, that's faith. That's faith in operation. You know, so I never have trouble finding a parking place. I go anywhere and find a parking place because I just know there's one there waiting for me.
Acting in faith.
Acting in faith. That's right. Now, let me show you a little something here about making things happen. What do we call impossible? Impossible is anything we can't do on our own power, isn't it? I mean, that's what we say. Right? Well, no, I'm sorry, it's impossible. It can't be done. That's impossible. It can't be done. Now, according to the first chapter of Luke's gospel, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And no, it's not Christmas already. We've just been there once. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Okay, what did the angel said to do? He said to rejoice. But what did Mary do? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She wasn't in agreement with the word of God. And the angel said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And what did Mary do? She said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" She still wasn't in agreement with the word of God. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now he's going to throw her a bonus. "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." That's something that we would call impossible. Amen. "And this is now the sixth month for her who was barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord." Oh, now what is she? She's the maidservant of the Lord. "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. At the moment she set herself in agreement with the angel and said, "I will submit myself to, agree with the word of God," the angel's business was finished. Because at that moment, when she set herself in agreement with the word of God, the impossible became possible. It was a done deal as far as heaven is concerned. 9 months later, the prophecy is fulfilled and the Savior of the world is born. That's how you get things done. Setting yourself in agreement with the word of God and believing that through God, all things, how many things? All things are possible. Amen? God's been good to us tonight. God has been very good to us tonight. Hallelujah. I'm excited because God is doing some good things. He's doing some wonderful things. And we're going to see them right here. Don't ask me what they are, but we're going to see them. I believe that. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every prayer that is in the hearts of every one of these saints this evening. And I thank you, Lord, we walk out of here tonight knowing that with God all things are possible. If we'll just believe. That's what Jesus said. If you'll just believe. If you'll just set yourself in agreement with what I'm telling you. If you'll set aside your doubt and your disbelief and your confessions of this just isn't possible, then all things are possible. And I thank you, Lord, that those prayers are answered. Not that they're going to be answered, but they are answered. They're answered at the moment we set ourselves in agreement with you. So I just thank you, Lord, for those answered prayers. I know I've had some here in the last couple of days. And just bless me to no end, and I thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. I got to tell you, give God a little glory here. Yesterday morning, my wife was there. I mean, she looked at me with that old look, and that old sound was in her voice. And when I touched her and she touched me, it was pre-stroke. Boy, did that bless me. I was walking that far off the ground all day. See, with God, all things are possible. Now, you got to keep in mind, she's been gone for over a month. Yesterday morning, she was back. Well, you know what? This afternoon, she was back for a while. That's 2 days in a row. Well, with God, all things are possible. You know, next thing you know, it's going to be 2 hours in a row. Then 2 minutes in a row. Amen? Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. People worry a lot about the things that are going on. They worry a lot about what the government's doing and what Congress is doing and what the oil companies are doing and what the pharmaceutical companies are doing and what the schools are doing. And on and on and on. What did Jesus say? He said, don't worry. Why do any of you think you're going to add 1 minute to your life by worrying? He says he will deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. That's what we need to be concerned with. Maybe concerned isn't even a good word. That's what we need to know. He will deliver us from this present evil age. 1,000 will fall in front of you, 10,000 at your right hand, and all you will see is the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.